Blog Talk Radio.
Got it.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I tell you, God is good. How you doing, Dr. Hunt? I tell you, it's a beautiful day. God is doing great things. And let's get into the Word. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. Father God, have your way. Father God, have your way. We're doing what you said. You said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that you've commanded us. And lo, you're with us. You'll be with us even until the end of time. Well, I tell you, God is good. This is Dr. John Newsom, pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in Houston, Texas. Our address is 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. Come by and worship with us on Sunday morning. Our service began at 10:30. I'd love to see your face in the place. That's Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive in Houston, Texas. Service starts Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And then Bible studies are on Wednesday at 7 o'clock a.m. I'd love to see you come by and worship with us. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn your Bibles to Joshua. Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee at Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. Caleb is saying, I fully followed the Lord. He fully followed the Lord. That word followed in Hebrew is malay, and it means to fulfill. Right. It means to accomplish. So he's saying, I fulfilled what God told me to do. Nevertheless, he says in verse 8, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I fulfilled what the Lord, my God, sent me to do. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. Caleb is saying, God made me a promise 45 years ago when I was 40 years old. He made me a promise. I fully did what the Lord says, and he promised that he was going to give me this land. And he's kept me alive all this time. Isn't that beautiful? When God makes you a promise, he's going to keep you alive until you obtain that promise. So you don't have to worry about, I'm running out of time and so much time has passed by. No, that's the wrong way to think. We need to know, according to the scriptures, that when God makes us a promise, all we have to do is just do what he says, and he'll keep us alive so we can obtain what he promises. Isn't
Amen.
That good news? He'll
that's
keep
good
us
news.
Alive. Yeah, he kept Caleb alive. He was 40 when he got the promise, but now he's 85. And you see in the scripture, God kept him alive so that he could obtain what God had promised him. Look at verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. You see, God has the ability to keep us alive. You don't have to feel like I'm running out of time. No, God will keep you alive until you obtain what he's promised you. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Look at verse 11. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. He said, and I'm strong too. I'm 85, but I'm strong.
Amen.
I'm 85, and I'm strong. God promised me something 45 years ago. Now I'm 85. I was 40 when he made the promise to me. I'm 85 now, 45 years later, and I'm strong. I'm still alive, and I'm strong. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. He says, for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm able to fight now. I'm even able to go to war at 85. Oh, man, that's something else. I'm 85 years old. I'm still strong. I'm still alive, and I'm ready to go to war if I have to. Look at verse 12. Now, therefore, he says, give me this mountain. Give me what you promised me, God, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest that in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now, see, God had promised to give Caleb some land when he was 40 years old, and Caleb went out and fulfilled everything that the Lord told him to do. Now here he is 85 years old, and he says, God, give me what you promised me. Even though the enemy's in the land, I'm able to drive them out as long as you be with me. I can drive them out. Just give me what you promised me, respectfully now. Give me what you promised me, God. I know the enemy's over there, but if you be with me, I know that I can drive them out. See, what a great attitude. Look at verse 13. And Joshua blessed him. Good God Almighty. See, when you talk like that, God's going to bless you. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Juniper, Hebron, for his inheritance. He got what God had promised him because of the behavior, because of the behavior that he had, because of what he, how he had carried himself and how he had wholly did what God told him to do. Now he's 85, 45 years after the promise, 45 years later, he's been given Hebron. He got what God promised him. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb unto this day. See, unto this day, his peoples are still on that land. His people are still enjoying that promise, that inheritance. Unto this day. That's what it says in verse 14. Unto this day. Because he wholly followed Malah. Malah. He fulfilled what God told him to do, the Lord God of Israel. You see, he obtained what God promised him. And so the message is obtaining the promises. We're going to look at what we have to do to obtain the promises. It's one thing to have the promise, but it's another thing to obtain the promises. Get the promises into your hand.
Yes.
We can talk about the promise, but it's one thing to talk about the promise. It is another thing to obtain the promise, to get the promise in your hand, to take possession of what God has promised you. Now we're gonna look at Caleb and see what he did in order to obtain what God promised him. God told Caleb, "Caleb, I'm going to give you this land." We're going to look at what Caleb did to obtain the promise of God. Obtaining the promise. Number one, the first thing I noticed about Caleb is he carried out fully or wholly what God told him to do. He didn't beat around the bush. He did exactly what God told him to do. God told him through Moses, "I want you to go out and I want you to spy out the land." There were 12 spies. And Caleb and Joshua were the spies that came back, and they gave a good report. They went over into the land, promised land, and spied it out. Then they brought report back. They fulfilled what God had told them to do.
Yeah.
But those other 10 jokers, they came back and had the people crying all night long. They came back with a bad report. Yeah, they had about 3 million people crying in the wilderness, just scared out of their boots because of the negative report that they brought back. That's the 10 negative spies. But Caleb, he went over, brought back a good report. He fulfilled what God told him to do.
Yes.
So number one, we have to carry out what God told us to do, to wholly carry it out, to fulfill, to do it all the way, do what he's called you to do. We're looking at what we have to do to obtain the promises of God. Now, God, he's given all of us promises. He's promised us what? 120 years, Genesis 6:3. He's promised us divine health, that with his stripes we are healed. He promised that we are rich. He said he became poor, that we may be rich. He promised to bless us in the city and to bless us in the country. He's promised us houses and land, Deuteronomy, full of goodly things. He's made promises to us. He's promised us the abundant life. He said, I come to give you life and that you may have it how? More abundantly. See, God has made some promises to us. He's made some promises to us. Now we're learning how to obtain those promises, like Caleb did. He made Caleb a promise. Caleb obtained his promise. He obtained his land. We're learning how to obtain what God has promised us. He's made all of us promises. How to obtain it? Number one, how to obtain the promises? Number one, we got to do like Caleb. We got to carry out what God has told us to do. Wholly, fully carry out what God has called us to do. Look at Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Caleb fully carried out what God told him to do. That's why God allowed Caleb to obtain the promise. Look at Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. And look at verses 11 and 12. Numbers 32, verses 11 and 12. "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land, which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not," what? "Wholly followed me." Malay. They haven't fulfilled what I told them to do. You see? We have to fulfill. We got to wholly complete, fulfill, carry out what God has called us to do. All those people died in the wilderness, Dr. Hunter. Only Joshua and Caleb and the little children that were born after those other people had died in the wilderness got to go over to the promised land. But all the other adults, the grown-ups, they died. They died. They didn't get to go into the promised land because they didn't act right. They didn't fulfill wholly what God had called them to do.
Amen.
Look at verse 12. "Except Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun." Well, yes. How did they obtain the promised land? For they what? Wholly followed the Lord.
Malay.
They carried out what God called them to do. They wholly fulfilled what God called them to do. And see, we need to fulfill wholly what God calls us to do concerning our pastor, concerning our church, concerning our ministry, concerning yes. souls, concerning our family, concerning our business. We need to fully carry out what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And we'll obtain the promises like Caleb did. Number two, we have to have a good self-image. Caleb had a good self-image. Did you notice that about Caleb? Caleb had a good self-image. He saw himself in a good way. See, the reason a lot of people don't obtain the promises that God have made to them is because they don't see themselves in a good way. Some of them feel like, I don't deserve to get what God promised me. See, that's not seeing yourself in a good way. Caleb saw himself in a good way, and he obtained the promises of God because he had a good self-image. Look at Joshua chapter 14, and I'll show you that in the Word. Caleb had a good self-image. He saw himself in a good way. If we're going to obtain the promises of God, number one, we got to wholly, malay, we got to fully complete all that he's called us to do. And number two, we have to have a good self-image. We got to see ourselves in a good way. Look at Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, and look at verse 10 and 11. And you'll see that Caleb, he saw himself in a good way. He had a good self-image. Look what he says in verse 10, Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Look what he says in verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. See, a good self-image. He said he wasn't looking at himself in a negative way. Oh, I'm weak and I'm so weak and I'm so old now. How can I handle and obtain the promises of God now? I'm 85 years old. Now, he wasn't talking like that. He says, I'm as strong now as I was when the promise was made to me. He says, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm even ready to fight wars if I have to at 85 years old.
85.
He had a good self-image, and God liked that. See, God liked when we have a good self-image of ourselves. And so he obtained the promises of God, number one, because he carried out everything that God, holy, what God told him to do. And number two, he had a good self-image of himself. You got to see yourself in a good way. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 14. We got to see ourselves in a good way. Don't look at yourself like I'm a worm, I'm a dog, and I don't deserve what the promises of God. No, you can't look at yourself like that. You got to be like Caleb. You got to have a good self-image of yourself. Now, look at Psalm 139 and look at verse 14. This is what you got to say about yourself. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise thee. The psalmist says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Praise God.
That's how we got to see ourselves. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You got to have a good self-image of yourself. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. See, what you think you are, that's who you are. If you think you're a bum, a loser, and no good, that's who you are. But if you have a good self-image of yourself, I'm strong. You know what? I have the favor of God. You know what? That's a good self-image. And that's who you are. You've got to have a good self-image of yourself. That's if you want to obtain the promises of God. Number three, you've got to have a positive mental attitude. You've got to think positive. You've got to be optimistic. You got to think positive. Don't be thinking all negative. No, you got to be an optimistic. You got to think positive. You got to have a positive mental attitude. Caleb obtained the promises of God. Why? Because he had a positive mental attitude. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Go back to Joshua chapter 14. Caleb had a positive mental attitude. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Joshua chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Look what Caleb said. He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the enemy was over there, and that the cities were great in sin. If so be, the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Verse 13, "And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." You see, he had a positive mental attitude. He said, "If the Lord be with me, I can push the enemy out. I can obtain the promised land." You see, he was positive. He didn't say, "Oh, I can't take that promised land. The Anakins are over there. The enemy's over there. They'll beat me up." He didn't talk like that. He said, "If the Lord be with me, I can possess. I can obtain this promised land." You see, that's a positive mental attitude. Philippians, Paul said, even Paul had a positive mental attitude. Paul said over in Philippians, he said, "I can do what? All things." Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. What did he say? "I can do what? All things." Through Yeshua HaMashiach, through Christ Jesus, who what? Strengthens me. Yeah. See, that's a positive mental attitude. That's the way we got to think. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh, glory to God. Have a positive mental attitude. Number four, my final point, number four. We're talking about what we need to do to obtain the promises of God. We got to do like Caleb. Number one, we got to carry out wholly what God has called us to do. Number two, we have to have a good self-image. We got to see ourselves in a good way. Number three, we got to have a positive mental attitude. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We got to look at the glass not half empty, but we got to look at the glass half full. Have a positive mental attitude. And number four, my final point, we've got to use our faith. We've got to use our faith to obtain the promises of God. Caleb was a man of faith. And you see, faith is a law. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. You see, faith is a law, just like gravity is a law, the law of gravity. What goes up, it must come down in this earth realm. Why? Because it's a law. A law always works. A law always works. So faith will always work when you work your faith. Faith never fails. Why? Because faith is a law. It's a law. It has to work. If you work your faith will work. Why? Because I'm getting ready to show you in the scripture, it's a law. And a law always works, like the law of gravity. If you jump off an Empire State Building, you're going to go straight down. Why? Because the law of gravity is in effect. And gravity, a law, always works. Now look at Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of what? Faith. You see, faith is a law. And that means faith always works. Because a law always works. We've got to use our faith if we want to obtain the promises of God. And your faith will work. your faith will work. Ask, believe you receive. Confess, demonstrate, act like the word of God is so. Expect and forgive. That's faith. Use your faith. Speak the confession. Speak in agreement with the word of God. Do the word of God. Faith is a law, and it must work. It always works. You just got to work your faith. It never fails. It always works because it's a law. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. If you want to obtain the promises of God, you're going to obtain them by through using your faith. If you don't use your faith, you will not obtain the promises that God have made you in his word. You want to obtain them because you're not using your faith. You've got to use your faith, which is a law, and it always works. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and verse 33. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Look at verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms.
Amen.
Worked righteousness and did what? Obtained promises. And stopped the mouths of lions. How did they do that? Because at the beginning of 33, through faith. You see, through faith, they stopped the mouth, that closed the mouths of lions. Through faith, Gideon beat a vast army with only 300 men. Through faith, David did all he did through faith, because that's how all the promises are obtained. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Worked righteousness, obtained promises. Did what? Obtained promises. Caleb obtained his promised land because he used his what? Faith. You're going to obtain the promises that God has made to you through his word. How? Through faith. You've got to use your faith. It's a law, and it will always work.
Amen.
I want to close with this. I was studying aerodynamics. Aerodynamics. Now, in aerodynamics, there is something called the law of lift. The law of lift. In aerodynamics, there's something called the law of lift. And what that means is, in aerodynamics, if you make, for instance, an airplane a certain way, if you make it a certain way and you go a certain speed and you go a certain distance, when you go that certain speed, you make that airplane in a certain shape and form, and you go a certain speed after it's made, and you go a certain distance, when you reach that distance, what's going to happen? That airplane is going to what? Lift. That's called the law of what? Lift. It's called the law of lift. If you get in that airplane, you say, for instance, a cargo airplane. If you get in a cargo airplane, they carry cargo. They carry trucks, cars, boats, different things. And so they might have to go a certain speed, and they might have to go the length of a football field. But if they might have to go the length of two football fields because they're carrying a lot of weight. But if they pick up a certain amount of speed, and when they get to the length of two football fields, what's going to happen? That airplane is going to what? Lift. It's called the law of lift. It's going to take off down that runway and reach a certain speed. When it gets to that certain distance, for example, the two lengths of a football field, then it's going to what? It's going to lift. It's going to take off. You might be in a smaller plane, a private jet. Now, a private jet carries a few people, and it's not as heavy as a cargo plane, but it works by the same principle, the same law, the law of lift, aerodynamics. It might have to go the length of one football field. It picks up to a certain speed. When it gets to the length of a football field, that certain distance, it's going to what? Lift. It's going to lift. you and I have been given different assignments in life. You know what? I have one assignment. You have another assignment. Just because we all don't lift off at the same time, that doesn't mean anything. We don't lift. But we got different assignments. I might have to go a little bit further at a different speed than you. But if I go to that certain distance, I'm going to what? I'm going to lift. Yeah. You might have to go a little bit further. But that's all right. You're going to lift. Because it's a law. The law of faith. That's how it works. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says what? Let us not grow what? Weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap your harvest. You'll what? You'll lift if you don't quit, if you don't faint. Keep on going. Keep using your faith. You keep working your faith long enough, just like that airplane going down the runway, and it gets that certain distance. You keep working your faith long enough, you're going to lift. Amen? And that's what God had me to give you tonight.
Amen.
Obtaining
the
promises.
And the peace of God be with you. Hang around for just a moment. We got the pastor coming in. We haven't said a word to him about 2 times. Pastor, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. Well, I know you got a word to tell us all that God has done for you while Bucky was here and some other things. So it's your go ahead.
All righty. Yeah, just a little praise report and the things that went on at the Reinhardt Bunke Crusade. I was down there for the 2 days down there for that. There was a little under 28,000 people who showed up for the 2 days. But, you know, out of the 28,000 people, 10%, 10%, there's 2,700 and 54 people who gave their lives to the Lord.
My God.
You know, and then, yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, that is very good. Really, that is very good, because there were still a lot of people there that were already Christians or ministers and so on and so forth. But for that amount of people, for what there was, Even Reinhardt Bunke said it was probably one of the better of the crusades that he had. It was in Miami. He's been into North Carolina and other parts. Now he's going out to Chicago. And the crusade is going to be there in June, I think it is. But, you know, I was a witness. I witnessed there. I saw a man walk in with a cane. He was blind. He was holding on to a woman's hand, walking with the white cane. He walked out without it. He got his sight.
That's a good report.
There was three people who were deaf in one ear or the other. They all got their hearing. There was a young girl there who had scoliosis, and her back straightened out.
My God.
There was healings upon healings upon healings that was going on there. God was just moving in so many people's lives down there, you know. And I had the privilege of working the altar and praying with people. And it was a great, very, just an awesome time down there. There was a... Jesus Culture was the praise band that was down there that was playing. We were blessed with getting to listen to their music. But like I said, the real thing was the salvations of those who give their lives to the Lord for the first time. There was over 2,700 people. So that was great. I sit there and been working after that. I really haven't stopped. I've been going full blow with this other deal, what I'm doing at the Humboldt Civic Arena. I'm trying to get this concert and other events going. And I'll tell you, it's Pastor was just talking about having faith. This is stretching my to say the least, brother, it's stretching it. I've had people cancel on me. I've had to go backtrack, and I've had to do some other things and to try to make this work. And it's still going, and I'm still believing that it's going to work. Because, like I said, I saw this thing, like I said, over a year ago. And you know, even with all the music and all the different entertainment and all the other things that's going on there, we not have to forget the one important thing that we're our whole thing is about, which is also bringing those to the Lord, and also for the healings and the deliverances and being able to minister to the people from all over the world, the different cultures. Right here in Houston is the most diverse city in the nation, even if it's fourth largest, but it's the most diverse city. Actually, the whole world is practically living here. You imagine if one out of every nation was to give their life to the Lord and they called home to their nations and told their brothers or sisters or mother, their father, told someone about what God had done in their lives, if the witness of being healed or whatever it is that's in their lives, do you imagine just saving that one person, healing that one person, what it can do throughout the nations of the world? The concept of what we're doing down there is healing the nations and, you know, changing the hearts of people, changing their by changing our hearts, we can change the nation. You know, we can pray and pray and pray and pray until we step out in that faith and believing in what it is that God has given us to do and has given us by faith and taking action upon what we've asked. You know, we know that our prayers go right straight to heaven. They go right to the throne. We know that there's no doubt about it. But Satan, he is the Lord of the air and the darkness and the principality. And what he does, he tries very hard to keep your prayers from coming back to earth. Because God, the minute you ask God in Jesus' name, and walking in the presence of the Lord, walking in the presence of Christ, being in Christ, supernaturally, asking the Father in heaven, he gives it to you. He gives you the answer to your prayer. The only problem is when it's coming back down, it's just like Daniel, when he prayed, and the archangel told him, he says, God sent your answer. It took me 21 days to get it here to answer you, but he answered you the first time you spoke. So this is what happens with all of us. Satan tries to discourage us because everything he can possibly can to keep us from the answers that God has given us. Through discouragement, through all kinds of different phases of our beliefs and our trials and tribulations that we walk through. But we have to keep strong in the faith. We have to keep believing that what God said will be, and we can't stop and turn from that. We have to continue to walk in faith and to believe, and to trust in the God. You know, the song is written, it says, "They got the devil under my feet." A lot of times, people don't hear from God just because God has already answered you. You know, what we need to do, we need to look under our feet and see where the devil's at and know that God has answered our prayer so we can walk and believe and trust that we have our answer. It's not that God hasn't answered us. It isn't that, you know, sometimes it's no more than what it is. Every time that you relinquish your faith in what you've asked for, you literally turn it over to the devil. You put it into his hands. But like that song says, "I got the devil under my feet." That's where you're standing. You're standing on the word of God.
Yeah.
You're standing on the fact that you defeated Satan. You're standing on the fact and believing and trusting, and all you need to do is start walking. God answered your prayer. Look under your feet and see where the devil's at. and start
Amen.
Walking.
Amen.
Start walking as if you claimed it and you received it, and just start walking it, and it will manifest before your very eyes. It will manifest before you just like the healing, just like the blind man was able to see, just like the deaf person was able to hear.
My God.
All we have to do is have that faith and believe and walk.
Yes.
So we can, like I said, there are times when we go about our business and our daily business, you know, and sometimes we miss the opportunity, you know, to speak a word to someone. And in fact, I'm guilty of it myself. There's times where someone has come up to me and I missed the opportunity. But then I stop and I pray and I say, Lord, I missed it. God, forgive me. Send someone to be able to help this person.
Yes.
You know, we need to do things like that.
Yes.
So that we don't lose people. We don't Amen. Lose the people, because at some point, somewhere along the line, someone had told them about Jesus, and they're curious, and they won't understand. And that's that opportunity. When they come to you, you get to be able to sit there and minister to them. And sometimes it's not ministering to them about Jesus. It's your testimony, what Jesus had done for you.
Yes.
It's about your faith and how Amen. It is you got to be where you're at and how you're walking. See, God sends people to us to be able to minister. And it doesn't mean that you have to quote the Bible chapter and verse, back and front, front and back, upside down, forwards, backwards. It doesn't make any difference. All you have to do is tell them what you did or what Christ has done to you, where you've been, where you've come from, where you're going, and what you're doing.
Amen.
That's the best Amen. Testimony. That is the Amen. Best testimony that anybody has for anyone. You don't need to be a scholar to do that. All you need to do is have the faith and believing in what God has given you, the faith and believing what God has given your heart, and the faith and believing that you're walking on His word and walking into His promises and walking into the promised land.
Hallelujah.
We need at times stop thinking about ourselves. And we need to start thinking about who we are.
Yeah.
And not to what we are.
Yeah.
We need to stop focusing on the material things that in our lives. We need to stop focusing on, I haven't got a job today, but you know what? God will provide.
Yes, he will.
It's just like right now, I'm struggling right now, and I'm being honest with you with this concert deal that we're putting together. And like I said, I've had people that have been pulling out. They said they'd be a partner up, and they would do things, and I've gone after them, and I've asked them about it. And all of a sudden, they've started reneging. And I'm going, Lord, no, because they was counting on some of these finances that had come in to be able to cover some of the other expenses.
Yes.
And it's been testing me. It's been stretching my faith a little bit. And I'm being honest. I'm being upright with you, you know, and straightforward. And it's been taxing me, but I'm not as blatantly distraught over it.
Yeah.
Because the small little voice says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe. Yeah. Have faith. Have faith.
Absolutely.
See, I've been preaching about having faith, and now God is stretching me a little bit in order to prove His word in me, through me, and to be able to stretch me a little bit further. And be honest, I'm nervous, but I also know that it'll be done. It'll be done not according to my will, but to His will.
Yeah.
Things will be done the way He wants it done.
That's right.
Not the way I want it done. Because even when I spoke, I said, then I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I don't want anybody there that is not supposed to be there.
Amen.
Who is going to hinder the, anything that I'm doing here and knowing what it is that we're doing and what we need to do and what needs to be done. And so
Amen.
I know that there's a lot of these people who said they were going to be a part of something that pulled out. So I go, okay, Lord, these are the people that you didn't want there. So now I'm calling on the Lord right now to bring in those who are willing to be there or who that He wants there.
Yes.
I'm calling on the Lord that He's going to sit there and He's going to put together a Gideon's army.
Amen.
I mean, I could have 30,000 people there and all wanting to be a part of it and all showing up, and God said, no, 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 we're going to get rid of all these. We're going to deal with these 300 people here, and we're going to take those 300. We're going to do what we need to do. And God is building the Gideon's army over there at the arena for me. And all I have to do is basically, I mean, I have to work at it, but also I have to work on my faith. But I also have to work at what I'm doing, because God says, as you put your hands to the, what you put your hands to, you will prosper as long as you believe and trust.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I'm doing this out of faith and believing that this whole thing is going to be His will and He's doing, because like I said, He showed me the vision over a year or so ago. And so if I intervene and get in the mix of it, I think I can mess it up really bad. But if I allow Him to do what He wants to do there, I think it's going to be one of the most powerful ministries that's been in this area. And the best part is, it's falling on the heels of Reinhard Bonnke to keep the revival going in the city of Houston.
Amen.
I'm honored to be a part of that. I was honored to be a part of Reinhard Bonnke's crusade, and also that he's chosen me basically to do this thing over here at the Humble Civic Arena in about 3 weeks. So I'm asking you guys to keep me up in prayer and just so you know, just to keep me in prayer that this will all still. I know it's coming about, but I would just like to have you guys keep me in prayer.
Amen.
Bless them, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come right now, bringing our brother. We come in the same position he's in. We are sons of God. We come because your words say all things are possible to those of us who believe. And we have declared and decreed that the enemy is a liar. He's a liar. He's a thief. He has no power. And you said in your word, Father, you said we look above and not below. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, you said we have a place in you. You're on the right hand of the Father. We're on the right hand of you. And you said we do things, we're doing heaven's business, not earthly. And we declare and decree that our brother, when he has his meeting, is going to be more than expected. We also ask, Father, that you would let the angels on assignment keep watching what he's doing. Angels on assignment. Watch over us. Watch over us.
Yes.
Then, Father, when it's all come to an end, you'll be glorified. You'll be glorified. We want to praise you. We want to love you. We want to thank you for everything you've done for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I really do. I don't know if anybody out there needs prayer right now or anything. A short deal here. I've been, like I said, I haven't really studied to do a whole lot this week.
We're on your team.
But I appreciate it. And if anybody out there who needs prayer, you know, if they want to call in or ask, that I'd like to be able to open up the altar, so to say, and have anybody who wants need prayer to go ahead and call in and ask. And I think between the three of us or whoever else is listening, we'll be able to come together in agreement with each other and on the behalf of anyone who needs prayer.
Amen. Well, go ahead, make the extension, brother.
What's that?
I said, go ahead and extend prayer for somebody who's listening. Maybe not listening, we want to offer that prayer. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise.
Oh?
Yes.
I'm glad everybody's healed and everybody's happy.
Praise God.
Amen.
What I want to tell you, your brothers, while we're on the radio, because they have nothing to hide, we're moving into another phase of KASK radio station. I have everything hooked up. We're going to YouTube. Are you listening?
Yeah.
YouTube, Ustream. I got about four different social things. Also, you can be on my website. But I also have where you can use Skype. And you can do your messages from where you are. You can Skype it to the radio, to the KASK, and it'll be downloaded. I'm giving it, it'll be sent to you, instruction on how to do it. But I'm telling you what God has blessed us with. And see, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to start from 7 to 9. I've been praying for 20 years that we have a prayer across the nation. And tomorrow, this is the second time we have this done. And I want to thank God for answering and for my patience. As the brother said tonight, I'm going to do what I'm going to stand, just like Joshua and Caleb did. I'm going to stand. Yes, I'm a young man, but I'm now a certain age. But God, you promised this, and it's come to pass 20 years ago, and he is right now.
Amen.
And so here we go. We get ready to reach the nation.
Yes.
Every Wednesday. And the request is you can call in. You ain't got to say your name, whatever you want to be prayed for. We got a person that's going to be praying with you, and we got some people that's on the line with you. And I'm telling you, it's awesome what God is doing. And all I can tell you is to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And see, I'm glad that Bonky came to Houston. And I thank God for what is happening. But it says to those of us in the city of Houston, we have not shaken our rugs. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. In your house, there is some dirt coming in your house that you don't want in your house. So you got to take it outside and shake it off.
Amen.
Something you got to shake it off. Some people, I don't care if they, I love them, but I'm going to just say the truth. Some things I can't help you with. I'm going forward. I ain't going to look back. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I want to say to us tonight, we're started on this journey. We're going to finish it.
Amen.
We're going to finish it.
You know, when I met you at IHOP there, and you talked about your radio station, and when you asked me if I want to come on your station, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, because, you know, that's something I've been wanting to do, and you opened that door. And that, I'll tell you what, I appreciate.
That's what it's all about.
You know, I mean, for years I've sat there and thought about wanting to be able on a radio station. I mean, when I was living in the world, I had a secular on Comcast. It was a public television. I had a TV show on there for a while. It really wasn't of anything. It was just a bunch of foolishness. But you know, but when I got into doing ministry and stuff like that, and the things that God has laid under my heart, I knew the world needed to hear a lot of that stuff. And even when he sent me out into the world and start to minister, you know, ministering on the streets and then going around the world and ministering. And now I got, you know, on Facebook, I got a following from all over the world of people on my messages and the stuff that I preach. And now with the radio show, you know, God is faithful. He is faithful. There's no two ways about it. You know, and we just got to understand that we don't understand His ways, but all we got to do is trust in His ways.
Amen. So I want us to know more now than ever. I'm not out trying to go fishing anybody because my faith is a gift. See, faith is a gift. God has given me a gift, and I operate in that gift. When God said do something, I do it. Whether you want to agree with me or not, I go forward. But God already got somebody He's calling in. And all of a sudden, I didn't know how to put this thing together, but God sent a young lady by me and gave me her testimony to sit down. You know what she said finally? Is there anything I can do for you? Wow. I look back, I said, are you for real? She said, yes, I need this. She said, let's do it. And within 40 minutes, she had it all hooked up. I said, look at God. God answered our prayers. See, don't worry about the church, brother. God's going to bring you a church that's going to hold about 6,000. Don't worry about it. He's going to bring it.
That's right.
It's according to our faith. Are you listening, Apostle? It's according to our faith. It's according to our faith. And I got much more I want to say, but I'm going to talk to y'all off the line. But I wanted to put that on there because I know. And you got Facebook, and I got Facebook. Drop your stuff into my Facebook. Become a partner because I got it all. Because I want us to let the world know this is what we are doing. It's about your church. It ain't about me. It's about what God is doing through you. It's what God is doing through you. And I want to see, because when we all stand before God, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, amen.
Amen, amen. So, Pastor, I'm going to give you the last words. Go ahead.
You know, it was talking about even with the faith and everything that we're talking about, everything that's going on in your life right now, it's a testimony. Not only onto you, but it's onto your brothers and sisters and the other people that you meet across the world. And your next door neighbor, it doesn't make any difference. People who you meet in Walmart or at the restaurant or wherever it is, you know, as long as you continue to show the love of God that God has placed in you, you know, we have to put our differences aside. We have to be able to sit there and take that moment and just relax and put our trust in the Lord. They don't care how bad we've been beaten. It doesn't matter how hard or who beat us. It doesn't matter any racial boundaries or anything else, because we can lay that all down, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. If God doesn't differentiate one from another, we're all the same, you know. And when we stop and really start to look at what that is, and who we are, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
What a better world we can have. What a better world we can exist in. What a better world it is that we can operate in the gifts and in the Spirit. We have to lay our flesh. We have to lay ourselves down, die to ourselves, pick up the cross, and walk with the Lord. You know, He said, "My yoke is light." So we just got to just lay our stuff down right now before Him, everything, and be set free and be
Amen.
Able to sit there and pick up His yoke, put
Amen.
It on, and let Him carry you. Let Him carry you to the point where you be able to have the strength where you can step out and walk for yourself. And like I said, when you're not hearing from God, all you have to do is look under your feet and see where the devil's at. And know that as you walk forward in faith and belief, all those things that you've asked for will come to pass.
Amen. God bless you. Until the next time, and I'm gonna send you guys. I'm gonna send before the week is gone. I'm gonna send out what all things to do. It's up to you if you want to be a part. But I'm saying we can go forward. I love you. I thank God for you. The peace of God be with you. Until we meet again, shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.